Good morning. It is Monday, and this is the morning shift. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here hanging out with you, and we are not in the studio this morning. They let us out on the road, and so we are here at Arthur Blank Stream Speak Live Golf Tournament, and we are so excited to be here. We got to be here last year for this wonderful event, and for over two decades, the Arthur Blank M Center for Stuttering Education and Research has been dedicated to changing the world for people who stutter, and so this golf tournament does benefit that. Some remarkable things that they get to do by providing care at no cost to children, teens, and adults who stutter around the globe. So the list goes on, but great tournament for us to be able to be out here today and raising some awareness.
Yeah, love that we get a chance to get out of the studio, man, stretch our legs just a little bit, especially after a crazy weekend that was. I don't know about you guys, but got to hang out with the family, charge the batteries just a little bit this weekend, and hit the ground running. It was a little bit bumpier of a road this weekend than I wanted it to be, obviously, which we'll get into throughout the show. But nonetheless, man, just good weather. Had the parents in town. Got a chance to sit around my dad watching football. So, yeah, man, it's good to be out here and not locked in the studio and getting a chance to hang out.
Did your dad stick around for the race to watch the race yesterday?
No, he didn't, man. They had to head back earlier yesterday because they had a couple things to do back at home back in Pensacola. But, yeah, man, he got to watch some college football. My dad was in the zone watching college football Saturday with me. You know what I mean? Like, he just gets jacked up, man, to crank the grill and throw on his team apparel and everything else. So, good weekend for sure.
Yeah, I had the two TVs set up as normal going on downstairs, and I was like, halftime. And I wasn't expecting Vandy Bama to be good. Mm. Like, I was expecting it to be close for a little bit, but I didn't think it was going to be the game it was. So, my plan was all along to go upstairs, turn on the TV on the porch and the deck and then fire up the Weber. And so now I'm having to have one TV in the house, in the kitchen, where I'm obviously at some too, on the Georgia game. And then the outside TV I had to have on Vandy Bama because that game was coming down to the wire. I was like, why are you doing this to me? Why am I having to multitask and watch two games? I was very impressed with the physicality that Vanderbilt brought. I just could not believe it. I knew that they were tougher this year, but they were as physical as Alabama. And I don't think that Alabama showed up and was like, oh, this is a cakewalk. I think they just got it brought to them.
I agree, and that's something that I think we'll have to dissect. I don't want to go any further. Tiff, the Navy football team's 5-0 now.
Yeah, that. I mean, you went into this game knowing that Air Force had lost a lot of players last year. And so you can get into the whole thing with turn back years and all this kind of stuff when you're talking about some of our armed forces schools. But that was a big thing for Air Force and Navy coming into it just as a team that had the experience, a ton of experience, and a heck of a quarterback in Blake Horvath, which our guys were talking about maybe should be up to be a Heisman candidate because he's getting it done in the air and on the ground. So they were a ton of fun to watch, but also to be there for the pageantry and just what this represented for the country as well. The Commander-in-Chief trophy at stake when you're dealing with the Armed Forces schools and just how much this matchup kind of meant to both programs. So that was my first one, and it was pretty cool to be on hand for that.
Yeah, it's not a bad place to see a football game for sure.
Army-Navy are on a collision course right now.
They are. Yeah.
Both teams undefeated for like the first time since like 1952 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but I saw that number in there somewhere.
And Navy hadn't beaten Air Force at Air Force since 2012. So, and I think the last victory I believe was like 2019. I think it was in general. So, but a long time coming for them. And so, yeah, it was a cool matchup to be a part of. But are we really going to bury the lead this morning?
Yeah, you're right. It was a wild day in the NFL.
Oh, really? That's okay.
I'm amazed that, Arizona-San Francisco was wild. You had the Buffalo-the Texans game.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you trying to pivot for me. That's all right. Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Unfortunately, I just don't want to talk about the Vanderbilt-Bama game. I don't want to go back to it. So if you want to talk about NFL, let's do it, man.
Well, because
speaking of burying the lead, man, it just it hurts.
And hurt feelings this hour. you know, if you're injured, you can call Morgan & Morgan. That's what this hour is brought to you by. That's who it's brought to you by. So if you're injured, call Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
I think if you're a fan of a team, you probably don't want me picking your team to win. Because I picked Buffalo to win. They lost. I picked Tennessee to roll Arkansas. They lost.
That's a tough one.
I missed the over-under by a half a point yesterday with the Jets-Vikings, which hurt deeply.
We'll get to that, right? Because that's in your Man Up Monday.
Yeah.
So you can, fall on your sword then.
Definitely will. Carolina has come back to earth, and I feel a little bit better about the Panthers coming into this week. I know it's a little early. We're 6 days away. But the Falcons do go to Carolina on Sunday. And they seem, Andy Dalton has come back down to earth. Well, according to Dave Canales, Andy Dalton is still the starter. But I just kind of like the fact that they've come back to earth. So now it's a division game. And you know how, Tiffany, you can talk on this well. Division games are always a lot tougher to play, even if the opponent isn't up to the standards that year, because they know you so well.
That ends up being the case a lot of the times, and the intensity's turned up, everything's turned up, just because it's a division opponent that you see twice a year, and you want nothing more than to beat the brakes off them.
Yeah, it's always going to be a tough game as well, and it's just funny, things start to kind of fall into place over the weekend, and some teams lose, some teams win, some teams look bad. Got a chance to watch football for a long time yesterday with that London game coming on at 9 a.m. And so you got a chance to catch that one out and ride that one all the way out until the Steelers-Cowboys gets the hour and 20-minute rain delay last night and is on TV till, 1 a.m., something like that. So, yeah, man, a lot of puzzle pieces continue to fit in, and Carolina's one of those teams that I thought they were on a better trajectory, and then I think Andy Dalton's the guy, and then he falls back to earth, and Bryce Young comes in and plays relatively well, and a lot of questions for that. It was funny. Dave Canales asked about it afterwards and his thoughts on putting Bryce Young in. He said something like, "Well, we had a couple linemen hurt, so we figured we'd just plug them in." I'm like, "Dude, that doesn't seem fair. You're not going to get protected, but slap some on the button. Get in there, buddy. Let it dig.
Yeah, just don't get killed.
Yeah,
we've already got you. You almost got killed last year and early this season." Go in there and give us the best you got.
We've been talking about making your reads quickly. You better get that pill out. There's a couple of guys down in front of you, man. No protection.
What better time to grow up than now? Better stop seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
You're going to see real defensive linemen. The NFL continues to be every week. There's surprises. I mean, I don't want to crush anybody, but did Deshaun Watson really quit in the middle of a game yesterday?
Seemed like it.
Then I saw questions of if there were 11 or 12 people on the field. You saw that kind of reports coming out as well.
It's just an odd look.
Not a good situation.
I don't know how. First off, shouts out to Washington and Jaden Daniels. They continue to just stay absolutely red hot. Dan Quinn has them at 4-1 in his first season. I remember when he came here, we started 5-0 with Quinn, but he had Matt Ryan and Roddy White and Julio Jones. I mean, it wasn't like he was starting from fresh. This is kind of a brand new template for them at Washington. They've cleared out some defensive players that they moved on from last year. Obviously, a new quarterback. Terry McLaurin is
there. I was
going to
say, you still got him, and that's key when you have a rookie quarterback coming in, because you got a guy with so much experience who actually is beloved there, but beyond that, plays well as well.
Yeah, but he only had 4 catches yesterday, Tiff, for 112 yards.
No big deal. Scary Terry is what,
But Jaden is getting it done with his legs. But the Deshaun Watson stuff continues to be an absolute. And you just had them.
It was just an interesting dynamic. I was there 2 weekends ago, I think it was. It was Raiders Browns, and so our Browns at Raiders. But an interesting dynamic, and just a lot of frustrations when it came to the offensive line, because there were just a number of injuries that they had gone through coming into that game. So shuffling they had to do. So from my vantage point on sidelines, I did see the frustration mount. You did see, and we were able to show it during the game too, Deshaun expressing his frustration at one of his linemen, what appeared to be, I believe it was a missed block. But then you had Jameis kind of coming in and smoothing things over between everybody. And so, which was, an interesting dynamic to watch, because here's your backup quarterback who's come in And everyone, even including Deshaun, couldn't say enough about just the leadership skills that Jameis has. And so, again, I just leave it at just a very interesting dynamic to see your backup quarterback coming in, talking to everybody down the bench after every play. But that's kind of who Jameis is anyway. But he said he made it a point to come in there and to just use his experience to help everybody. But the one thing he also told me in our pregame chat, you know, I asked him about just being in that role of being a backup, which he has been in before. But in his mind, he's still a starter, and he definitely acts like it.
But isn't that a problem, Mike, on a team where the backup is the leader? I mean,
a problem for who?
Well, it's a problem
for
Cleveland.
Watson, for sure. I don't know that it's a problem for Cleveland. I think that's the exact reason they brought him in, because I think they knew exactly what kind of leader Deshaun Watson is. So you decide to bring a guy like Jameis in to have a veteran presence and a guy that can be heard, right? And you bring him in. I think he's done everything that team has needed him to.
The list could go on and on, but we are so happy to be here and be able to at least shed some light. Also raise some awareness. If you remember last year, they raised over $400,000 in support of stuttering education and research. So it's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, some of the best Atlanta Falcons of all time, some Atlanta United members coming up here to support Arthur Blank. So it's a cool scene for sure.
Yeah, I think there was some we had a few pro golfers in this last year as well. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty fun tournament. Mike and I got to play last
92.9
year. 92.9
The Game, breaking news.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. We do have breaking news here. This is just coming in. There's a major announcement here on this show.
Really?
There's a new member that's going to be added to the team.
Who?
Who? Well, I'll tell you, it's not me. So just go ahead and get that out of the way. Don't play coy with us, Bo Morgan.
Yeah,
we just want
to
say a big congratulations to you and to Amy on your bundle of joy that is on the way. You guys made the announcement over the weekend. And so we are all thrilled for you guys.
Yeah, we publicly announced that baby Squid is on the way.
Squidlet, because it's a little girl, right?
Yeah, maybe a Squidette.
Squidette. There we go.
This is my Super Bowl. This is my Super Bowl day.
I don't understand why
this
Mike
is
so happy.
Because I just can't wait. I just can't wait. I can't wait.
There seems to be a lot of joy in others that I'm having, or I'm not having, but that we're having a girl.
Yes.
It seems to be very.
Yes.
I don't understand. I've had more.
Because you're going to be like big and sappy. You're going to be, you shouldn't have a wrap around your finger. I don't mean to use all the cliches when it comes to like little girls because I don't like all that stuff because, you know, whatever. But. It's true. You will be a puddle of mush.
It's absolutely true that she'll have you wrapped around your finger. And look, man, it's always the hardest that fall the furthest because, man, you're going to be in a bad way, dude. You're going to be in a bad, I don't know if I was more stoked that y'all were having a child period or if it was a girl. Like, it was like a toss up. It was an absolute toss up, man.
I'm excited for you. Babies in general, you'll be a softer, maybe kinder human being.
Wow.
And that's what.
Definitely softer. Yeah, that little girl will do that to you. She's gonna make you softer.
I don't think that I'm that hard. You guys.
Sorry, I choked. Sorry.
I mean, am I that evil?
No, you're not evil.
Evil's
cold.
Not a good word.
You're actually very sensitive, but you can be grumpy.
Mm. Yeah.
Grumpy aspect of you, I think, might be significantly decreased.
When is the due date, if you don't mind me asking? Are you going to put that out there?
It's in April.
April?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to look for...
some Masters, baby.
A definite version Masters of Bad Mood Bo that we have not seen on some sleepless nights, but that's all right. Man.
Maybe we'll name her Augusta.
Yeah.
Augusta National.
There you go.
Don't do that.
Was it Victor Hovland that I was telling the story about?
Yeah.
On the hole in one? Victoria!
No, I appreciate you guys a lot. Talked to both of y'all over the weekend. No, it's exciting. We didn't want to do – well, for first off, I was terrified that my wife was going to make me do one of those gender reveal parties.
Yeah.
Because I think those are just awful. And I don't know. I'm good. But luckily, she didn't have that viewpoint. She was like, no, let's just she's not a huge fan of them either. I'm not sure. I don't know what her thought was. Maybe she thought that her husband was too big of a jerk to want to do one.
She might have factored that into consideration.
Oh, we just did a cake, and there's a place in Woodstock that does like the call, it's called like small cakes or something, and they do like cupcakes, and it's a smaller cake, and we put wine glasses in it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people doing that now.
Yeah, and it was so much easier than having a crowd. But
a little bit
shocked.
You look terrified in the video.
Well,
be honest with you, you look terrified. You look like you're scared to look and see what color is in the cake. I was looking for like your facial reaction.
You knew in your heart. You already knew. I felt like you knew in your heart this is going to be a little girl.
Well, I had some people that were wishing it on me. There's a few people that knew.
You said wishing it on me.
My best friend from college has two girls, and they're both athletes. And I told him, he's like, "Oh yeah, you're going to have a girl." He's like, "I hope it's a girl."
Mm.
And I was like, "What? Why?
Same.
Why are you saying that?"
Same.
Like, and he literally, so he knew Friday night before we, and I told him what it was. And randomly, I mean, this is a guy that randomly, he rarely texts. He texts me randomly, he goes, "I'm so pumped you're having a little girl." And I was like, "Why?" He goes, "Everything in your life, your dynamic in your house is just going to change. And I just can't wait to hear about it." And I'm like, are you wishing something on me because there's four people in your house and you're the only male? Like, what is that?"
He wants it to flow through you, man.
So
I
yeah.
think it's awesome, man. But, I think it's awesome. What was your initial reaction when you found out that that Amy was pregnant? I'm curious about that.
Very shocked.
Yeah.
Not that we weren't trying, but I just thought that we were at least a month away.
Dang it, I thought I had more time.
Life comes at you fast.
No. So I was like, "How'd this happen?" And she's like, "Why is that your response?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, I just thought
you
certain
said
things."
How'd this happen?
What? How did she tell you?
She surprised me at home with neutral balloons and a little bear that had the pregnancy test on it.
Well, Bo, I'll tell you, when two people love each other very much.
Thank you, Dylan.
Dylan's going to give you the birds and the bees speech right now.
Yeah, that's no offense, but not the first person I would come to for that speech, Dylan.
I'm cutting my mic off for the rest of the show now.
It's a joyous occasion, and we are taking shots.
Yeah, I'm done talking for the rest of the show now. I'll just press buttons back in.
I don't know if you can recover after that, but
I have a couple more questions. First
of course,
of all,
you do.
How many text messages did you get, or messages period, just to follow up the video once it was posted and everybody found out that y'all were having a child?
Quite a lot. Me and I decided to take Sprinkles on a walk about the time that she was posted on social media. And Siri, I could not listen to music because Siri was in overtime.
Kept interrupting.
In my AirPods. No, that doesn't mean talk, Siri. It was like, "Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson says it. Uncle Beaver says this." I was like, "All right, you know what?" So, and then I just decided to wait till I got done with the walk to respond to everybody because I didn't want to walk into a traffic or a street sign or something.
Also, follow-up question, how has Amy been feeling, and what have you done to kind of comfort her during this extreme physical toll that her body is taking, man?
Wow, you pulled out a few adjectives there.
I'm just checking to make sure you're comforting her. Doesn't strike me as a strong suit, but I don't want to label you before we get there.
It's been the first trimester has been interesting. She's definitely dealt with some of the things that most people deal with, you know, the sickness most women deal with. But I have, you know, been doing what I do best, and that's just being a rock for
her.
For her.
You better have a whole lot of things on deck.
Stoked. I'm so stoked.
You need like my wife is pregnant starter pack.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, dude. No, I've been trying to be sensitive. I've definitely you know, kept any frustrations I've had with other things away from her.
I can see you. One of my good friends, they had their son years ago, and actually Bobby is a friend of the show. He listens, and I remember asking him, you know, "Mandy's in there. She's delivered. I think she had a C-section," and Bobby's like, "Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was just like when I go deer hunting." I envision you being just like that, and
that's not that bad. Just push a little harder.
Be that guy that when he gets home, everybody's like, "How'd it go?" And he's gonna be like, "I didn't sleep real well last night." "Oh, you mean the baby?" Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Maybe I'm like, Is that as hard as you can push?
Oh my gosh.
I think you could do better. I'm not going to do that. Come on, guys.
I know you.
Mike, just for the sake of the show, you're going to be now limited to one question per segment.
Okay. Fair. Okay. We'll start off each segment with us because I got about 20 lined up.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Maybe some people, I was going to say, man, I know you have your manned up segment today, but you guys can tweet Bo some of your advice because he loves the Twitters.
Make sure you tag me in those two and I'll read some good ones.
Hold on a second. Mr. Yo just texts, congratulations, fearless leader. Being a girl dad is awesome. I have 7 boys and 2 girls. Mr. Yeah. Yo, you have 9 kids?
I think he
kids?
Knows what causes that. I think Mr. Whoa. Yo knows Whoa. What causes that.
Congrats to you, sir.
Wow.
All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, we will get back to football talk. We got Falcons, Panthers on deck over the weekend. And let's flash back to Georgia taking care of Auburn. We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Humility is a week away in our league at all times. And that's the consistency I want to have. We're not going to win all our games all the time. That's not going to happen. You know, I want our fan base to appreciate what we have and give their all and be unbelievable with crowd noise and make energy and just make home games, because we need it to be tough on other teams to play here. But it's not. It's not the same as it's been in the past. It's got to be energetic. It's got to be hard. You know what? It was hot today. It was hot today. It was hot on our players, too. And our players pushed through it. So I'm really proud of this team because I thought it was a tough week, and we answered the bell.
That was Kirby Smart addressing the fans, asking for more after Georgia was able to defeat Auburn 31-13 at home.
Yeah, well, first off, I don't disagree with Kirby. If you know – Do you think I know it's not Alabama coming in there, but or Georgia coming into another stadium, but the atmosphere that Alabama had the other night against Georgia is what we've seen at Sanford Stadium in the past. We didn't see it didn't feel that way. Watching that game didn't feel that way. It's still Auburn, and Auburn still like I know Auburn has lost some games, but they're a very good team. They just have been a turnover or two away from winning some games, and it's, you know, they've had some inconsistency at quarterback. But Georgia's going to need that when Tennessee rolls in here in the middle of November. You don't think Georgia's not going to need that crowd behind them?
Yeah,
I mean, so I agree with Kirby. I think Kirby's disappointed that he has to say that, because it shouldn't be that we only cheer as loud as we can when we're undefeated. And we know we're a national title, a couple wins away from a national title.
Well, and let me keep the main thing first and foremost. Congratulations to Georgia's football team on a big win over Auburn. I know Auburn's not great. I know that Georgia is a good football team, and you bounce back and you expect them to be hungry. I think that Kirby Smart was just looking for a little more in terms of, the atmosphere. And look, man, you come off a game like you had last week where those guys scratch and claw in the second half, and then you come back and – I know. I mean, look, man, Nick Saban had this exact same conversation at a certain point in his tenure at Alabama where it's like fans are like, well, it's hot, it's daytime. And then, of course, you heard Kirby bounce back with, yeah, it's hot for the players too. It's hot for both teams. So I think that, look, there was a certain point where Nick Saban called out the student section at Alabama. They kind of bounced back and made a good atmosphere for the rest of the year. I look for Georgia fans to kind of do the same, but it's difficult, man. It's just human nature to find complacency in situations like this. And I don't think it's any one person. I don't think it's any one feeling. I think it's just a matter of you're playing an Auburn team that's not very good. There wasn't like a lot of splash plays in the game to kind of get the atmosphere going. It was just kind of a, 5 yards at a time football game for both of these offenses, and Georgia pulls away in the end.
Do you think fans are taking that personal?
What do you mean?
Like
what, Kirby's comments?
Yeah, his comments.
They should. I think they will. I think they'll show up. I think Georgia has a good fan base. There's no doubt about it. I think, they're playing Mississippi State next week, so it's not necessarily like you have a world beater coming in there, but I guarantee they will be loud. They will be there early and loud, and that game will be as loud as it can be until it is well decided, which I don't see Georgia having much issue.
I think Kirby wants them to take it personally, right? I don't think it's the – He said this is one of the first times he's been upset. I would say that he doesn't just come out and say something like this the very first time. I think this is something that probably kind of boiled up and you know, over the course of a couple of games where it's like, well, students are leaving early, or, you know, we don't have the atmosphere, or we don't have the sound. That's at least everything that I've ever seen when it happens like that is one of those things that happens over time. So I think that Kirby wanted him to take it personally. I think there's a reason he said that in the post-game presser.
And he also addressed that. I believe that sound came from DJ Shockley's interview of Fox 5. So, you know, keeping it real.
It's also, let's be honest, too. It's their first real home game this year. They had Tennessee, they were at Mercedes-Benz against Clemson. They came home for Tennessee Tech, but it's Tennessee Tech. And then you went to Kentucky, had a bye week, went to Alabama, and then you come home. So it might be more about the fact that, hey, we need to remember who we are instead of I've been disappointed this year, because you've only had one home game before Saturday. And this fam, yeah, I'm sure there is a little bit of we expect to beat Auburn. They're not very good. I think it's Kirby. Part of this is Kirby remembering what that matchup has been so many years, being a player in that, and maybe not thinking it was to that point. The reality of the situation, though, is as much as Kirby can talk about the fans and the crowd noise and all that, they got issues. They're not very good up front right now, to me, on either side of the ball, to what Georgia's standards have been. And the weapons have been inconsistent that Carson Beck's been inconsistent. So they're not very good offensively. The defense has not been to what it has been. So they're a little bit of you know what, Kirby, you got to look in the mirror, too, at what you're putting out there.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Here's what I look at Carson Beck. They're not as explosive as they were a year ago, and we talked about it leading up to the Bama game. We talked about it coming away from the Bama game. Now, they had some explosives, but it just seemed like when you watched Georgia football last year, explosive run, explosive pass play to Brock Bowers, downfield catch to Ladd McConkey. And like I said, it's not that they don't have any of this. It's just fewer and further between, right? So Carson Beck, 23 of 29 for 240. Good line, right? You also had 10 different guys on both teams have targets in this game, which is kind of incredible to talk about as well. It just, you know, this game was tied at halftime. Georgia pulls away in the second half. I don't want to take anything away from them. You know, listen, when we ran the table in 09, we had numerous games like this. You beat Kentucky in 08, 17-14. You beat a bad Tennessee football team under Lane Kiffin on a blocked field goal. It just, sometimes it happens like this, and you have your ups and downs, and the mark of a championship football team is to pull away in the second half, make the needed adjustments, dig deep, and beat a rival like this when you're in your home state.
It's their first regular season loss in almost 4 years. So I'm not trying to say anyone's overreacting or anything like that. I know you want to win this season, and the goal is always to end with a championship. But just if you look at the cumulative body of work of this program, you have to step back for a minute and appreciate what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I think that, you know, we can take Kirby Smart's comments and run with them, or you can look at the positives that happened in Athens on Saturday, and that's that they beat an Auburn team that is a rival. And Lord knows, as an Alabama guy, I know better than most that anytime you play Auburn, a lot of things can happen, right? So that is, you know, I just have to give credit where credit's due to Georgia. They dig deep and get that done, even though it doesn't look the way you expect it to sometimes for Georgia. They're still beating teams. They still beat Kentucky. They still almost beat Alabama, and they still handily beat Auburn. So it is what it is, and I know that team's going to only get better under Kirby Smart.
And that Clemson win is looking better and better because really Clemson is getting better and better. It's like, you have had so much success. This is literally the golden age of Georgia football. There's never been a better stretch than right now. And I'm a guy that his program is down in the dumps, and I'm having to sit here and look at losses and say, hey, I feel better after what Texas A&M did this weekend, that we got beat by them at home, and Miami is coming back from 35 on the road to win games. Feel a lot better about that right now because of where my program's at. Georgia should say, look at our wins and how good those teams are actually playing.
So you look at yourself looking at yourself in the mirror, talking about your program and how things, you know, maybe
myself
have like kind of taken a tumble this year. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Someone else to your right can do a little self-reflection too. We talk about the latest edition of the AP poll that's coming out. A lot of teams have been shuffled around in it. Alabama. Hey, when we come back, we'll break it down for you next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today.